a lot of us have this idea when the term soldier of the future is mentioned, an image of a trooper that's somewhat like a hybrid between the Iron Man and a stormtrooper from Star Wars. But in reality, the real future soldier or soldier of the future is very much almost here among us already, and it's more like a connected soldier, a person that's a collection of networks and sensors moving through the battlefield. My name is Nestor Arellano. I'm editor of Vanguard Magazine, and here with me is Terry Fabelic, editor-in-chief and publisher of Vanguard Magazine. And for this episode, we are going to interview somebody whose company is actually in the process of suiting up or equipping the Canadian Armed Forces in order to become one of these so-called connected soldiers. Terry?
Thank you, Nestor. I have with us today Alain Tremblay, Vice President of Business Development of Rheinmetall Canada. Now, Alain, there's much talk today about equipping our soldiers for the 21st century battle. And I know Nestor has kind of given us the typical vision that most people have. Can you share with us what your image is?
Well, there's a lot of discussions around the military forces of the world about how to improve the efficiencies of the soldiers of today in light of the battle space that is very new, and this asymmetric warfare environment that is far, far away from traditional and conventional war fighting has created a demand for information in the battle space that is also seen as a weapon by itself. And a lot of military forces, certainly in light of the last Iraq and Afghan campaigns, put a lot of reflection on how to improve the passage of information, both from the soldiers up to the chain of command, but also from the chain of command down to the soldiers, and be able to leverage the large amount of sensors that are now available in the battle space.
Alain, Rheinmetall recently secured a contract to provide the Canadian government with the so-called integrated soldier system. Please describe to us briefly, what is the ISS and what will it enable our soldiers to do?
Certainly. Just to give a little bit of background, the definition of this requirements by the Canadian Armed Forces started around 2004, 2005, mainly in light of what they were going through during the Afghan campaign. So it was not something that came, at the last moment. So a lot of reflection came behind. So the basic purpose of the system is to provide a better situational awareness to the soldier, both using voice and data communication, the ability to share data in a real-time construct, which is absolutely essential in the modern battle space, and improve also the activities of synchronization of intent battle space. And that seems simple, but when you're in a theater of operation, working at the small section, platoon, company level in a dispersed battle space, synchronizing activities, making sure that you can leverage the information provided to you by your drones, provided to you by your colleagues also on the ground, provided to you by allies, is becoming a very, very complex and difficult task just by the means and access to sensors that you have. If I may compare this thing, if you look at what cell phones look like 10 years ago, it was basically voice with a little bit of text message and even not necessarily. Today, smartphones are able to provide you a volume of information that has no limit short of your requirements. So the analogy is very similar. So what the Canadian Armed Forces and more specifically the Army, by going under contract last summer for the soldier systems, is really to provide a smartphone services equivalent, obviously in a military environment, to their soldiers in order for them to be better informed and use that information as an enabler and leverage all the sensors that are in the field. So that's basically what they intend to do with this program, which is going to be a journey. Phase one is going to be basic capabilities, GPS capabilities, map capability, small text formatting capabilities, the ability to send pictures to your chain of command, the ability to receive information from your chain of command in real time, in order to basically allow you to be more efficient in the battle space.
Certainly a fascinating explanation, and it really gives us a great insight on the vastness of the different communication exchanges of data. I'm curious, how is the security of all this?
Well, obviously, contrary to even though there is security on the commercial cell phones and smartphone networks, the entire systems that is going to be delivered by Rheinmetall to the Canadian Army is going to use the backbone of the secured classified communication radio network that is in place by the military. So we're going to basically use specific military radios operating on specific frequencies and with a certain level, a high level actually of security for the information, as obviously you can understand that some of that information may be sensitive. So that's the only difference. But from a functionality point of view, the analogy with your smartphone is very, very similar.
When will this equipment be delivered to the military, and how many such units are we looking at?
Yes, the Canadian Army is going into a very, very deliberate test and qualification. So that's the phase that we have been in since the contract award, mainly because they want to make sure that everything is fully compatible, that everything is compatible with the military communication network. And as you know, this is also imperative to be able to communicate with other NATO members and coalition members. So there's a lot of communication standards to be met. And we expect that the Canadian Army will basically come up with a design freeze by February, a little bit of readiness testing, and the qualification phase that should be completed by March 2016. Following this, and some acceptance tests by the end users, because this is one of the programs where basically the Canadian Army committed a tremendous amount of time and people to make sure that they get the pulse of the soldiers in the user trial. So basically, a lot of soldiers had to try different type of systems, make their voice about what they liked, they didn't like. So the system was custom made and adapted to those user trial. And there's going to be an additional acceptance test of the systems done in March. And we do hope that final qualification will be granted in early April 2016, allowing the production to start. And the number of systems on the first phase that are called upon is 1,632, with an option for an additional 2,512, which is what they believe they need for training purposes and to equip a task force to the size of the contingent that was deployed at the height of the Afghan campaign. And then we will see how this thing is going to grow, because obviously the Canadian Army was extremely demanding with regards to the open architecture of the systems, allowing the systems to grow as technology evolves, which is something that was a very detailed plan by the Canadian Army. Obviously, as you know, cell phones get obsolete after 2 years. Your desktop is starting to show some fatigue after 2 years, and you're almost forced to change your equipment. And that's the same thing with the soldiers' systems, where basically the system is built on an open architecture that will allow the system to grow as new technologies comes available to the Canadian Army and are perceived to be relevant to improve the situation awareness of the battle space of today and of tomorrow too.
Now, I'm curious, how does Canada currently compare to other countries in this area? Are we following somebody else's idea of the structure?
Well, I would say that it varies from one nation to the others. It's all a question of priorities, doctrine, and the like. You have to understand that very few NATO nations are in the process of fielding or having or have fielded such systems. Short of special forces around the world that we're not necessarily always fully aware of what they're fielding, that are usually at the cutting edge. With regards to regular army, Canada will be at the forefront of the fielding of those type of systems. Right now, the first two nations in NATO that fielded similar systems are France, that fielded the system called the Félin, which is very similar to the Soldier system, a little bit more complex, but achieving the same results. Germany, that fielded a few years ago the Gladius systems in Afghanistan. So Canada will be, in the top five countries of the world going that route. So actually they're going to be at the cutting edge of what is available, and will also improve drastically their ability to work with their privileged coalition partners within NATO. So Canada is right there at the front. It's not lagging, but Canada has also decided to go its own way. If you look at the French and the German systems, those are fully encompassing upfront complete systems. Providing interface with weapons, interface with battle management planning tools, sensors, night vision goggles, and the like. Canada decided to have a much more deliberate approach, starting with a basic systems comprised of a radio that is able to do both voice and data, GPS, small computers, and USB type of hub, even though it's not USB, allowing to plug and play different subcomponents, because they want to grow the system and they didn't want to overwhelm the soldiers with the two complex systems up front, which was actually one of the shortfall of the aggressive fieldings of a very, very comprehensive but complex systems by the German military during the Afghan campaign. And they had to backtrack from that approach of fielding the thing. So Canada will be fielding an as potent systems, but a system that is much more basic, allowing soldiers to get accustomed to it, and then grow subcomponents and capabilities as it goes along. So a very, very clever approach, actually.
It's certainly very interesting, and you enumerated the features of the ISS. Now, just to help our listeners visualize how the Canadian soldier will be using your system, could you provide us with a hypothetical battlefield scenario of how a typical soldier might use the system?
Certainly. First and foremost, the system will be as light as and as less cumbersome as possible. As you know, the prime role of a soldier is to conduct combat operations and to fight. So obviously, a lot of thought has been given to the ergonomics of the system. And the system will come with, a load-bearing vest with different type of module. A module for basically pouches and routing cabling systems, allowing you to link your radio, link your battery packs, link your computer, and link your headsets, allowing you to receive information from the radio and alerts. And all this in a way that it doesn't jeopardize or impede the ability of the soldiers to use his weapon, conduct aggressive and highly demanding physical activities and the like. So from an ergonomic point of view, a lot of work has been done. So from the outside, you won't see a soldiers with mega antennas and Star Troopers type of construct, even though that may come along the way, because I think that what you're referring to as the the soldiers of tomorrow, basically the Star Wars soldiers, is also something that countries are following, trying to improve protection, efficiencies, reducing the load of the soldiers, which is actually quite high today. So, but the soldier system was built in a way to be very, very easy to operate, not cumbersome at all, fit the form factors of the pouches and the load-bearing systems currently used in the Canadian Armed Forces, allowing the helmets to be wear ballistic protection for the eyes and ballistic vest and the like. So for the soldiers, that they will feel comfortable with this. And we're very, very happy that we managed to bring the weight of our entire systems around 4 kilos, which is quite small compared to the French or the German soldier systems that all are in the order of 13 to 17 kilos. So Canada had this issue of weight very, very central to the design of the system. As much as they want functionality, they wanted something that the weight was affordable to be carried by the soldiers that are already quite burdened by the weight of their combat gear equipment.
Well, that's a very interesting viewpoint. So it's fascinating to hear that that was a major component in your design. Alan, are there any other items or points that you want to share with our readers?
Well, obviously, we're very, you know, Rheinmetall Canada has been in this country for almost 27 years now. So we have been, you know, providing different type of capabilities to the Canadian Army mainly, but also the Canadian Navy. And we're very, very proud to be, you know, a contributor to quality equipment that are equipping our men and women in the armed forces when they go into harm's way. Rheinmetall is a consortium that is taking its pride in providing quality equipment, allowing soldiers to get an edge. And this is certainly something that we're trying to provide with the integrated soldier systems, but also the other programs that were recently, you know, announced last year, like the medium range radar, and like all the work that we have done also for satellite communication on the move, because Rheinmetall Canada is also providing the backbone satellite communication at the tactical level for the Canadian Army, which is going to be fully compatible with the soldier system. So definitely something that we're very proud of. But we're really trying to be, you know, a partner of choice for the Canadian Army and make sure that what they ask, we are able to deliver to a high standard.
Well, I'm really looking forward to, like yourself, finding out what the results of the trial is, which is taking place in March. By all means, please do keep us posted on the next steps that follow on from there.
We will gladly do so, and you know, and that's going to be a pleasure for us. We're always looking forward to communicate, you know, some of those things and what we're doing for the Canadian military. I think that Vanguard is a great publication, informing the people interested in the military, but the Canadian population at large too. So we're gladly going to be doing so.
Thank you very much, Alan, for joining us today for this episode of Vanguard Podcast. And it was very generous of you to take the time out from your very busy schedule to talk with us today. It certainly looks like the soldier of the future just might be around the corner. We look forward to tracking the development in this area and how the integrated soldier system performs.
It was certainly a pleasure talking to you today, and try to basically provide you a little bit more info on what this exciting capabilities is going to bring to the Canadian military.
On behalf of Terry, this is Nestor Arvaliano saying goodbye for now. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you again this time next week.